There used to be almost 5,000 drive-in movie theaters across the country. Now there are only about 400. Talk about drive-ins and you hear all those memories. The popcorn, the intermissions, the kids' activities, the making out in the car. So much more than a regular movie theater. What's not to love? But why have so many closed? This is Central Standard. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. A new documentary film showing an independence next weekend attempts to answer that question. We'll talk to the filmmaker, but not until the second half of today's show. First, it's the Artists for Life Project. They are a collective of African-American artists who are committed to reducing gun violence in our town. Three of the artists are here in the studio with us today. Daryl Chamberlain is an illustrator and sculptor and painter and organizer of the project. Welcome to Central Standard, Daryl.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we're joined also by George Mayfield and Martise Smith. We're also local artists and work with Daryl on this project. Thank you both for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Daryl, can you tell me a little bit about how this idea came up?
It originated in the early part of this year where I became aware of the death of Hadiya Pendleton. And that kind of touched me in a special way to say that how do you go from the highest joy in meeting the President of the United States, and then within 2 weeks you go to the lowest, the death of your...
Tell us about Hadiya Pendleton.
She was a student in Chicago, Illinois, and she was part of a dance troupe, and they got the opportunity to go to the President's inauguration and perform before him. And then she comes home afterwards, and while sitting on a park bench, someone comes by and mistakes her for someone else and shoots her. And, of course, she died from that.
And that is an issue not just in Chicago, obviously, but there is gun violence every day or almost every day here in the Kansas City area.
Yes, here in Kansas City, if you do the numbers, someone gets shot every 3 days here in Kansas City.
And when did you decide that you wanted to create art or inspire art about this issue?
It was shortly after reading about her demise and where I said, what do we do? If I was a singer, I'd sing a song. If I was an orator like Dr. King, maybe I'd give a speech. But I'm an artist, and so that's where my voice is. And so I talked to the artists of the light in the other room and explained my passion and what was really touching me about this. And they said, yeah, we like that. They were immediately on board. There was no discussion, no debate. Yes, we want to do this.
And George Mayfield, maybe can you tell me a little bit about the Light in the Other Room group?
Well, actually, it's a group of, in my opinion, some of the best artists in the city, not just being black, but artists, period. We consider ourselves the queen of the crop, and we do, like he say, things for the community as well as for ourselves.
And what did you think when you heard about this project?
I was ready to jump on board. I mean, this is something that I have done most of my life, work with kids. I've helped start a track team, been doing that for 20-something years, AAU. And so this is just another element to get involved with.
And what about this issue of gun violence? Is it something that you had a particular connection to?
Yes. I mean, I've been involved in this all my life because if you look at it, our young men is considered public enemy number one, and they don't have any good self-esteem. You know, they think they lost, and they think that they can gain power by picking up that pistol. And all of us want power in some way or another. This is kind of negative. So, and then you have a lot of young black men that's dying from these guns. Some good, good young men. And I'm interested in helping them too. You know, they's not out in the streets. They need to be rewarded. So if we can get the guns out of some of the individuals that has low self-esteem, we can save some of the ones that do have good self-esteem.
And Martise Smith, what interested you in this project?
When I first started, I was, well, Daryl told me about it, and I was very excited, and I just jumped right on it. What interested me about this project is that I have the opportunity to motivate others to speak up and do the right thing, to tell the truth if they see something that's out of place, if they hear something. You know, it's important that our voices be heard.
And tell me, Martisa, do you usually deal with social issues in your artwork? Is that something that you usually work on issues like that?
I do from time to time. I do fashion illustrations that focus on the independence of Black women and women in general. And it's just, I think it's an important aspect of just society to just make everyone aware of handgun violence.
How about you, Daryl? Are social issues something that you usually work on in your art?
Oh, yes. I've been social for years and years. I have a program that's called the Glory Works Experience, where I do sculptures that feature near-life-size busts of key figures from African-American history. I take those busts into schools and businesses and do presentations where we talk about social issues. We talk about history, where we connect history to what we're doing today and see how the parallels run and how we can improve what we do.
How about you, George?
Sometimes. I usually paint, draw what moves me at the moment. You know, and I think my works comes out better that way. And right now, this gun violence is moving me. So I don't think there's going to be any issue for us turning out some artwork that will inspire, get people to start talking about this, and maybe make a difference.
Now, Daryl, what are the sort of nuts and bolts of this? I know you won a rocket grant from the Charlotte Street Foundation to get this started. How do you will the group of artists be creating work? I know that you're also inspiring young people to create work. How is it going to work?
Yeah, there are two phases to this project. In phase one, we'll be creating artwork that's going to be focused towards specific members of the community. There'll be artwork to the parent, artwork to the perpetrators of violence, artwork to the children, artwork to legislators and law enforcement officials. And example, to a parent, you might have a picture that might have a caption that says, "It's 9 o'clock p.m. Where are your children?" To the children, it might be, "Tell what you know." They're at ground zero. They see what's going on out there. To handgun owners, we might remind them to make sure your tool is properly locked and secured when you're not using it. While we talk about handgun violence, as by the drive-by shooting, say, for example, there's another element of it that actually nationally more people will shoot themselves accidentally with their own gun than those that will be shot from a violent act.
So will there be work that's kind of geared towards that idea?
Yes. We'll be addressing all the dynamics that we identify. And to help us identify that, on this Monday, we're going to have a presentation to the artists that is also open to the community by the Kansas City Nonviolence Alliance. They work directly with the mayor and the chief of police. And they're going to help us understand the dynamics that we're looking at a little bit better.
We'll have more information about that on our website. So will the work take the form of I saw a couple posters on the Rocket Grant site, but will they be other genres too?
Yes. It's going to be left up to the artists to what topic they want to tackle, what issue, what perspective they want to look at, and so that we get a freeness there, creativity. And so I'm looking for their voice in the art. George, I particularly like, he can get really creative on you when you let him loose. I went to one of his shows, and he had some really provocative things there. I said, he needs to be on this team.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. Our guests are artists Daryl Chamberlain, Martise Smith, and George Mayfield, and we're talking about the Artists for Life project, which is dealing with gun violence in our community. I saw a poster on the Rocket Grant website that had a Ku Klux Klan member, somebody in that cape, mm-hmm. playing chess with an African-American young man. One had a handgun, one had a knife, and they were playing chess together. And I wonder if you can talk about that image a little bit. It's pretty shocking.
Yes, I'm hoping that some of this artwork is shocking to make you think. We really want to make people stop and say, what's going on here? We talk about the Ku Klux Klan a lot, but African-American young men are killing African-American young men at a higher rate than the Ku Klux Klan even imagined. We're at an epidemic level, the number one killer of African young men, African-American young men, is not sickle cell, it's not heart disease, it's not high blood pressure, it's other African-American young men. We got to be pointed and address that, accept it. It's our community, it's our boys, we got to look at it and get on it.
Now, Kansas City, how do you make art that creates change like Daryl Chamberlain is talking about? Are you an artist? Have you thought about this before? Join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. George Mayfield, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about if you have any ideas kind of that you've been thinking about on what types of images come to mind when you think about this problem.
I don't know if I want to let it out right now, but yes, I came across a few images, a few ideas, most of them dealing with individuals with them handguns pointing it at other kids, you know. And I have three or four images on that. I think we have until January to let them unfold. And so I really can't say exactly what I'm going to put on canvas, but it's going to be something to make you say, when you see it.
What about you, Martise?
I can't spill my ideas right now, but I am thinking about how children are curious about handguns and how we hear all the time that children are accidentally shooting themselves, shooting other people just by accident. So I'm thinking about my target audience being children.
And you're mentioning violence perpetrated by African-Americans on African-Americans, but of course there is gun violence committed in all communities in this country. And I wonder if anybody in the group has sort of brought that up and about whether you want to be aiming at that community or the broader community.
No, actually, I focused the artists. And I said, we're creating artists, artwork that focuses in the urban core. Yes, there is violence all over in all communities, but not like what we have going on in the urban core. That's an epidemic for me. If it was a disease, we'd be on it and someone would be running in the room with a vaccine trying to inoculate somebody. We've got to really take this serious for what it is.
And you mentioned one of your audiences being the perpetrators of violence. And it's hard to imagine what type of art will appeal or will make the perpetrators of violence think.
Well, I'm believing at the core, regardless of who you are, there's a part of you that stays human, that wants to laugh, that wants to smile, that gets joy out of life. And I think sometimes if we can remember that when we're talking to people and touch that part of people, that comes up and they begin to remember, hey, what I am doing is affecting other people's joy. And I hope to be able to touch them, sometimes make them feel guilty, but maybe touch their humanity and let them realize that little baby that just died might have grew up to have the cure for AIDS.
Martise, have you thought about that?
Yes, I have.
Just what kind of images, you know, reach these different audiences that you're talking about, whether mm-hmm. it's a parent or a perpetrator of violence or a small child.
Yeah, this is a topic that's not easily going to go away. You know, we have to make everyone aware of this situation. And by being aware, we are all accountable to one another. So I think that's one of the important aspects, is just being accountable to one another and just being aware.
And is there a particular genre that you think will work best for this? I know you don't want to give too much away, George.
Well, I believe you have to look into their head. You got to get into their world. It's a different world than what we see. You know, a lot of it is survival. A lot of it is, like I said, power. So some of mine is going to be focused on their world, the way they see us, because a lot of the young black men see themselves against the world, because a lot of the world is against them. That's why I said public enemy number one. Most of them don't feel that they're going to live to be out of their 20s, so they live for today. And not looking at the aspect of who they taking with them with them gun violence, you know, they don't see that.
We have a caller here, Al, in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Al.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it just occurred to me, I mean, while you were talking, so much of our society is seen by the rest of the world as violent. I mean, that is how we are seen overseas, as a very violent nation, and it's in our arts. It is in our arts. Linda Lighton, who actually has developed a grant program for artists in this town, did a series on gun violence in her own artwork in the last few years, which was very powerful. I mean, these kids are growing up seeing violence in the movies, hearing violence in their songs, in their music. It is a natural expression for kids, especially in the inner core, because there's more density of population and more kind of collective identity to be violent. It's not the kids, it's the nature of our culture. And if that could be expressed as well, it's like these kids are growing up with violent permission. They're being kind of basically entitled to think in this direction.
That's an interesting point, Al, and I want to ask our guests about that. There is violence in art, in movies, in music, in visual arts. How do you talk about violence without, could it be confused with glorifying that violence when you're shocking, you're trying to shock?
I don't think so. One of the things, as I thought through this, and people pose questions to me about this all the time, is that what is our real purpose here? For me, it's not the elimination of handguns, but rather to remind people that if you have a handgun, be responsible to it. Be responsible to the community. So this artwork is going to make people think, but our underlying goal is to cause people to be responsible to their community, to each other, in how they handle these things. Lock them up.
And we got an email from Andrea asking what other types of media outside of paintings and sculpture are included in the programs, and what are the age groups, which I think is getting into maybe phase two that you haven't talked about yet. You said phase one, the artists are going to be creating work. Wondering what kind of media, but also then what's phase two?
For media, anything goes. We don't want to limit the artists, because when artists get to creating, they just go for it. And we want to let the juices flow. But in phase two, what we're wanting to do is take the same concept to the high school level. And this is where we're going to have a contest among high school students, where they will create artwork of the same type with the same themes. And so that we want to hear what their voice is on their level, because they're at ground zero. They see what's going on. Sometimes they even know the perpetrator. And so I am curious to say, what would a young adult say about this issue? How do they feel? What's pressing them? And so that's where it's really going to get exciting.
Interesting. Martise, you mentioned fashion design. I wonder, do you see that as coming into this at all?
I don't think so. Not the ideas that I'm playing around with. I like to take on projects like this because it forces me to think differently at a different perspective. So I'm okay with it, with the fashion illustration not being a part of this because I don't want to glorify the violence. So I'm just thinking about just separating the two.
So you don't want to bring in something that young people find appealing?
No.
I wonder, George, can you talk about what you would hope would come out of this project?
A new awareness. You know, with some of the individuals that's perpetrating the violence. You know, I want them to look at themselves and see that they got worth. You know, and I think a lot of times some of the things they do is that they done gave up on themselves. They done gave up on the community. They done gave up on their family. And a lot of them is in what we call gangs. And in the gangs, you have to prove your worth. You have to prove your manhood. And a lot of them have the wrong impression of what being a man is. You know, and like we talking about violence, that's in our community. You know, we sometimes solve our issues with violence, and they bring it back from the home. A lot of individuals are disciplined with violence. They think violence is how you put someone in check. You know, so I want them to look at what they're doing and examine themselves and see if this is the way I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Darryl, how are you going to measure success in this project?
I think the statistics will probably feed into some of that as we look at it throughout the year, that maybe we might see a little diminishment. If that three-day window where someone gets shot every 3 days spreads out to about 4 days and then maybe 5 days, I'd say we're making some headway. We're making people think. And the biggest thing about this project is it's going to cause people to start thinking and dialoguing. I talked to a minister about this, and he said, I don't know. But then 2 weeks later, he had to voice it came home to him. Someone close to him had been shot. And so sometimes we're not thinking. We're not stopping and slowing down and saying, what's going on here? I'm hoping this artwork will cause people to slow down a minute and think.
About you, Martise? What do you think would, how would you know that this project had succeeded in some measure?
I agree with Darryl on his points. And I also want to say that this isn't a issue that's going to go away on its own. We have to keep this in the forefront of our mind and talk about it. You know, we have to communicate with each other, with law enforcement, with whoever will listen.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining us. There is an event coming up at where is that event on Monday?
On Monday, we're going to be at Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church, 2310 Linwood in Kansas City, where we'll have a special presentation by NOVA, Kansas City Nonviolence Alliance, who will be enlightening us on what the climate of Kansas City is and what we need to know as we go forward in this project. It is open to the public. I encourage people to come out because you'll have a chance to talk to some of the police officers as well as ask questions that are pressing to you and see what we're doing, what we're going to be all about.
That is artist Darryl Chamberlain, who's heading up the Artists for Life project. We also spoke with Martise Smith and George Mayfield, who are both part of the project. It's aimed at reducing gun violence in Kansas City. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows from the Central Standard page of KCUR.org. Tune in tomorrow as we explore the story behind the names of neighborhoods and parks around the city. Up to Date is next with the cost of autism, as well as the weekend to-do list. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz and Sangeeta Shastri. Our announcer is Kim Noble, and our program director is Bill Anderson. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross, and this is KCUR.